I wonder whether you've ever had a time when you've jumped into something, when you've made a quick decision, when you've set something into motion, and then in hindsight you wished that you'd held off, that you'd taken more time, and maybe you'd waited. Anyone relate to something like that? Well, this was my experience 12 years ago. And I've just got home from hospital from having all my wisdom teeth removed and I'd been under general anaesthetic. And then my baby at the time had kept me awake most of the night with her screaming, which was what she did at that stage. And I wake up that morning and something in me thinks, well, today's a really good day to ring the good Sammies and to get them to come and pick up all the stuff that we've been sorting out in our home over the last few weeks. So the good Sammies come and I'm in a slightly dazed state and I go, there's the boxes over there, take them all, you know, come and grab them. And they do, they take them all, including the box that has stored my Nana's collector's item dinner set that she got as a wedding present. The dinner set that was handed to me when she had passed away. The dinner set that I had lovingly packaged and taken with me to all the homes that I've lived in since Nana's passing. The dinner set that I'm going to enjoy and show my girls when they're a little bit older. Gone. The dinner set is gone. And let me give you the tip. Once it hits the good Sammy's sorting room, you cannot get it back again. There is no way of finding it. Now, some of you are probably thinking, you know, oh no, there's Nana's dinner set, I'm feeling your pain. Others of you are thinking, well, Nana's dinner set really does belong at the good Sammies anyway. So, you know, yes, I know that's what you're thinking. But the point is that I'm making is I set something in motion that day when really I should have been resting. I was post-anesthetic. I should have been quiet. I should have been waiting for a better time. Over the past 4 weeks, Pete's been giving us a great understanding of what it is to grow in spiritual formation. And we now understand that spiritual formation is the fundamental change that happens in us as our spirit awakens to the spirit of Christ. And tonight, I want to share with you one small verse that has been transforming me over the past few months. I hope that's okay. It's become a meditation for me. It's become my go-to thought in day-to-day moments, and it's really shaping the way I'm interacting and responding to the world around me. And I want to share it tonight as an encouragement for all of us. So if you have your scriptures with you, I want you to open up to Isaiah chapter 30. Now, Isaiah is in the middle of the Bible. If you're flipping through a page Bible, go Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. You'll find it. Isaiah chapter 30. We got it? And this is what we read in verse 15 of chapter 30. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Poppy, do you want to put that up on the screen? It's just two little lines. Oh, it's up? Oh, good. Great job, Poppy. I want that to stay up, actually, because if you hear nothing else, this is what I want us to remember tonight. These life-transforming words. They're just two little lines and they're completely countercultural, aren't they? They fly in the face of everything that our society and our culture tells us to do, but they are a direct call from God to live differently and they are transforming words. You know, I read this during the week. Our enemy, who is the enemy of Christ, majors in three main things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness and busyness, he can reset our concept of what it is to be satisfied. I don't even know if they're real words, muchness, busyness, manyness, but there's a quote, so I couldn't change them, Brendan, who's shaking. They're a quote. They're working, yeah. And that's how the enemy convinces us to find shallow satisfaction in muchness, manyness, and busyness. What do you think about that? Yeah. But here in this scripture, we hear something completely different. What the Lord says runs counter to our busy culture. What the Lord says runs counter to the enemy's plans. And the Lord says in these little verses, he says, turn to me, wait, be quiet, rest, trust, find the treasure and the truth as you do these things, and this will satisfy you, this will strengthen you, and this will ultimately save you. You know, spiritual transformation gives us a new configuration of striving. Let's use the word striving before. It's a different striving, not as the world says striving. There's a change in the meaning system that we hold on to. There's a change in our interpretation of life. There's a change in how we understand our purpose, and there's a change in the things that deeply concern us. In this scripture, God gives us a new way. He says, in repentance and rest is our salvation. In quietness and trust is our strength. So let's jump into the story for a few minutes and just see, why has God said these words? What's the context? What are the people of God up to? And we have to step back 700 years BC. That's a long time, isn't it? And, you know, I don't profess to understand all the history of this scripture, but in really simple terms, here's the story going on. God's people are living in two kingdoms. They're living in Israel and they're living in Judah. And they're being threatened by the Assyrian army, a mighty, powerful army. And the northern kingdom, Israel, they have largely rejected God in many ways, in the ways that they're living, in the other gods that they're worshipping and honouring. And they are attacked and overwhelmed and conquered by the Assyrians, and they are taken into exile. Then the Assyrians, over time, turn their attention to the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And Judah needs a rescue plan, quick, smart. They need a way out. They need someone to defend them against this Syrian army. So the leaders of Judah turn their attention to Egypt and Pharaoh and ask them for protection and for strength and help. Can you see the irony in this? God previously had rescued his people from the Egyptians, from Pharaoh. Remember the miracle of the Red Sea and the plagues? And now God's people are turning back to Egypt and going, help us, we need your help. And they start to send their animals, their wealth to Egypt in a plea to help us. They need help, so they get busy. They get busy devising their own plans. They get busy striving to work out strategies to save themselves. They look to Egypt, to man, to the world for protection. They start investing their time and wealth trying to secure themselves instead of looking to the Lord their God and resting and trusting in his divine plans, in his divine strength and his divine timing. And these are God's people, and this is how God responds to their plans and their thoughts. He says in verse 1 of chapter 30, he says, woe to you who take counsel, but not of me, who devise plans, but not of my spirit, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look to Pharaoh's protection and Egypt's shade. And he goes on and he says, Pharaoh's protection will be your shame and Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Wow, that's tough words, isn't it? And God warns the people through the prophet Isaiah. He says, you will not find strength by doing this. You will actually become like a collapsed wall. That's how weak you will become. You will become weak like a shattered clay pot if you go looking for protection elsewhere and not seeking me. Is it okay if we have a moment of confession time? You know, the battles that Judah are facing are quite different to the battles in my life, but I can get caught in the same kind of striving as I read about in this scripture. Setting things into motion when really I should be still. Getting busy when really I should be resting and trusting in the Lord. Orchestrating things that are beyond my control. Taking charge when really I should be quiet. And not that long ago, I found myself in one of these situations, a circumstance that felt completely out of my control, and I felt powerless. So what did I do? I got busy, overthinking, worrying, over-talking, imagining all kinds of scenarios and outcomes, problem-solving, making a rescue plan to suit myself. You get the picture? Just how the enemy likes it. Muchness, manyness, busyness. And I think that that image of a weak wall and a shattered clay pot is often how we feel when we start defending and devising plans and strategies for ourselves. Can anyone relate to that feeling? Yep. Maybe tonight you're in a challenging situation. Maybe you're in a difficult and changing circumstance and you just need help. Maybe you're feeling powerless in a situation beyond your control and you need to find a source of strength again. Maybe you're even holding on to something good like a dream or a hope and you're getting tired in the waiting. And you just need to find that source of hope again. You know, Judah's story of reliance and self-reliance is not a unique story that we read throughout Scripture. And we read often of God's people taking matters into their own hands and setting things into motion instead of turning to the Lord and waiting on Him. And I can relate to some of these stories, and maybe you can too, because it's our human nature. And here's some of the stories that came to mind while I was thinking around this scripture. We have Eve right in the very beginning of time. You know, she trusts her own instincts over God's. And when He says, do not eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge and good and evil, this will not do you any good. She turns to her own instincts and tries to save and protect herself and eats the fruit. And we know that the rest is history from that story, don't we? Abraham and Sarah, you know, they become impatient with God's promise that they will have a son and what God will do through this son. And they take matters into their own hands and they hurry things along. And we know that Abraham does have a first son, but it's from his wife's servant because they've taken matters into their own hands. And this causes all sorts of relationship dramas for them in the future. Jacob and his mum Rebecca, remember them? They choose not to wait and to trust the Lord for His promised blessing. Instead, they hurry things up, manipulate, orchestrate, and that too leads to unrest and drama. The disciples, even in the boat on that stormy night, they get terrified and they set fear in motion, even though they have Jesus on the boat with them. And then there's Peter, who we like. I like Peter because he reminds me so much of me. Stepping in to do things his way, and Jesus time and time again has to say, no, stop, not that way, my way. And the results that we see through these stories is trouble, is messy circumstances, is relationship distress, and there's consequence. And I see a reflection of myself in these stories. Do you see a reflection of yourself in these? Yeah. But here's the truth that we hold on to. God has infinite and sovereign power to do everything His people need to have done for their good. Shall I repeat that? God has infinite and sovereign power to do everything His people need to have done for their good. Isn't that a truth? That's a promise that never fails. And we have to pause here as we speak these words, and we have to remember that God's ways and His thoughts are far higher than our ways and our thoughts. So we can't always understand what is our good. We can't always predict how God will come through with a plan. But this is what we can be sure of, is that He will sustain us by His ongoing care. And He does this for those who wait on Him and those who trust in Him. You know, we see in these examples that we spoke about before, people in Scripture, we see that when they do an ultimate full turn and return to the Lord in repentance and rest, that's when the blessing or the promise or the peace or the saving eventually comes, but it happens God's way. I wonder, as I thought about this, how many times we might delay the work of God in our lives, how many times we might put on hold the blessings and plans He has for us because we're too busy rescuing and saving ourselves our way. It's a good thought, isn't it? In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. You know, this scripture has been working its way into my life. In that time when I said I was feeling overwhelmed by circumstances, I felt like the Lord literally dropped this and stopped me in my tracks and said, no, here's a better way. Let's have a look at some of the words that we see up here and understand them. We find salvation in repentance and rest. That's different thinking, isn't it? Repentance in this context simply means returning to God, turning back to Him. How often do we get focused on the problem, on the pressure, on the solution? And God says, no, turn to me, fix your eyes on me, and that's where you will find your salvation. Returning is also the idea of drawing close to Him. You know, Isaiah the prophet, who's speaking in this scripture that we've talked about, he's more concerned that the people of Judah turn to God than he actually is about their eventual deliverance and salvation plan. He's more concerned that they take that step to turn to God. And that's when they will find true salvation and strength. In turning to God, we are told this is when we find rest, in repentance and rest. Rest in this case means not striving for ourselves, not orchestrating, not manipulating, not getting busy trying to protect ourselves and guard our interests. No, we rest in God's plan. Now, this doesn't mean that we blob around and just go, well, I'm just resting, I'm just waiting. No, rest in this context doesn't mean inactivity. It doesn't mean do nothing. Resting means that we move and we act from a place of security and hope and trust, being guided by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is the one who leads us into the next way forward. The Spirit is the one who moves us into plans and purposes that He has desired. The Spirit motivates us with His energy and His desires. You know, there's a spirit of resting and waiting in the midst of work. That's what we do as people belonging to Christ. And we act with a spirit of reliance on His work. You know, in Matthew 11, we get a wonderful picture of rest where Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In repentance and rest, we find salvation. And then it goes on, in quietness and trust is our strength. Quietness and trust. This is in this context, it's the concept of not needing to argue, not needing to push and fight loudly for our side, our way, our rights, our voice, but choosing to place our confidence and our trust in the truth that God is already in the future. In kindness, He comes up behind us. He has a plan. He's got all authority over our world. He has all authority over our life. He loves us and He promises never to leave us or forsake us. Quietness and trust. Who would agree that 2020 has been a particularly noisy and loud year? It's been anything but quiet and trust, would you agree? It's been a year of information overload. It's been a year of lots of instructions. It's been a year of panic and fear for many people. It's been a year of rallies, demonstrations. I feel like every time I turn the news on, there's something else. There's unrest around the globe. It's a year of opinions, of conspiracy theories, loud, loud, loud. We've even got loud at judging all our leaders on their success or our failure during this time. Everything's loud. And as people of God, we read here that in quietness and trust, we find strength. Now, of course, we know that this doesn't mean that we just close our mouths and do not speak. There are times when we are called to speak up, speak on behalf of, speak against. These are biblical things. But it comes from a place of quiet before God first and then being led by the Spirit. That is His strength. You know, they're transforming words, aren't they? They're different words. Repentance, rest, quiet, trust. It's a new configuration of striving. you know, I wonder if there's anything going on in your life that you just need to return to the Lord and hand over to Him. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a circumstance. Maybe it's just a general stress. Maybe it's future plans and desires. Maybe it's dreams and visions that you have for the future. Maybe it's the anxieties of the world. Handing them over, returning them to the Lord. In Isaiah, further down in chapter 30, this is what we read of the Lord's desire to care for us. He says, "The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait on Him." The Lord rises to show compassion. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We hear Jesus echoing those words in the Gospels, where He is often led with compassion towards people. He rises to show you compassion. You know, the other thing that this year has shown us is that in extreme ways, Egypt, the world, the place we go to find refuge and strength, is not really a confident source of salvation at all. The things of this world are shaky, they're temporal, they're unreliable, but the Lord wants to be our shade and the mercy that we live in. You know, I've been learning to bring this meditation into my daily life. Here's some ways that I'm putting this into practice, and this might be helpful too. Firstly, I'm making this a meditation. So I don't commit many things to memory, but I'm committing this one to memory because I think this is a promise that will never fail. It's my go-to thought as I navigate the day. I bring it to mind and I whisper it over the different situations that I find myself in. Quiet and trust, I find strength. Quiet and trust, I find strength. I speak this over the loud voices of condemnation that sometimes come over me. Repentance and rest. That's all I have to do. Repentance and rest. I find salvation. There's peace that comes when we declare this promise. Secondly, I'm learning to hold up the stop sign on myself. At the kindy I work in, we walk around the school each morning with a stop and a go, and we teach the kids when it's time to stop, when it's time to go. I'm learning to do this over my thoughts, over my mouth, over my imaginations. Be still. It's time to stop first. I read this. The first thing that waiting on God means is this. Before you make one peep of an effort to solve your own problem or hire a human agency, pray. Seek the counsel of God first. And if you're anything like me, you might have to form a habit of stopping first and seeking the counsel of God. You know, there's a stopping that happens when we pray. And when we speak these words to God, how would it go if I relied on you in this, Lord? And then we just move in and do it. How much strength would we find in our everyday moments? You know, in Matthew we read, our Heavenly Father already knows what we need, already before we even ask Him. But He's so gracious, He says to us, but do talk to me about it. Come to me. I want to hear what's on your mind. And one of the transforming aspects of prayer happens actually within us. When we stop and pray, we open our hearts so we can listen. We open our hearts so we can experience the glory and the presence of God. How often do we start praying and the intentions that we come to God with change as we're praying because we've been exposed to the glory and the presence of God, and we move away with a different perspective? Holding up the stop sign creates space for the Lord. And thirdly, I'm learning to just live quieter. You know, we read this in Thessalonians, make it your ambition to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. It's a different way of living. You know, I don't need to know everything. I don't need to be involved in everything. There is a quietness and trusting the Spirit that as He moves us, that's the place He wants us to be. That's our space. Intentionally choosing to go to the Word instead of the world. It's another way I'm learning to be quiet. You know, this is our strength then, as we step back into the world, as we step and respond to the world, and people see that there's something different within us when we come with this atmosphere. You know, these are just a few simple things that I'm applying to my everyday life and seeing the early stages of transformation in the way I'm fighting my battles. You know, there's this one other perspective as well that I want to give you. The transformation that happens within you and me as we choose to do life God's way actually benefits us as the body of Christ. I read this. Every member serves the whole body, either to its health or its destruction. This is a spiritual reality. One who returns to the Christian family fellowship after fighting the battle of the day brings with him the blessing of his aloneness. As we hold on to this promise and start playing this out in our lives, we bring that back to the body as a blessing, as a gift. It's a different way of thinking, isn't it? Repentance and rest, quiet and trust is a new way of striving. It's a way of entering the presence of the Lord and having his heavenly blessings come into our lives. You know, I hope that this has brought some encouragement to you. It's certainly encouraging my day-to-day life. You know, I have battles going on, as we all do. There are daily challenges. There are hopes that I am holding on to and believing for. But I'm learning how to do it God's way, this way. Quiet trust, repentance and rest. You know, I wonder how your battles are going. I wonder how the challenges in your life, how are they going? I wonder if it's time to return them to the Lord, because he is our defender and he wants to fight them for us his way, and he gets the glory for the victory that we have in our lives. God's way is the best way. You know, just to finish, there's a song that I'm currently just listening to over and over. As I have this in my mind, then I go to the song and this in the song, and it's working its way out. But this is the lyrics in the song that's having a big influence over my life at the moment. It's called Defender, and it says, "You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. Your mercy is the shade I'm living in. You restore my faith and hope again. And all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still." Maybe we could add, "All I did was rest. All I did was be quiet. All I did was to trust." And then it goes, "Hallelujah, you have saved me. And it's so much better your way. So much better your way. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words that bring life, your words that are truth. And Lord, I pray that as we return to you and turn to you, I pray that we would just have the blessing of your way in our lives. You know, we have the promise that this is the best way. So I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear the areas in our life where we just really need to return back to you, hand it back to you. Stop doing it our way, stop striving in our way, but to learn your ways. And that is the promise that we have, is that you will defend us, that you go before us. Lord, thank you that your word brings peace to our spirits and our soul. You are a great defender, and we praise you and we give you the glory for what you're doing in our lives, in our day-to-day battles. We give you the glory, Lord, and we look to you your way. Thanks. In Jesus' name.